When COVID-19 became a real threat in Colorado, school and business closures put a stop to most of our daily routines. Our work and social lives drastically changed, and we had to become comfortable looking at our reflection in hundreds of video conferences. But some things never change, regardless of a global pandemic.
I like the garden club is that you can always garden and then water. And then when the plants are ready, you can like get them out and eat them.
Mia is a third grade student at Carbondale Community School, and this summer she is visiting campus multiple times a week to help her teacher, Deanna, tend to their vegetables. Even though COVID-19 had kept Mia out of school this spring, it couldn't keep her out of the garden.
Like, some grows faster and some takes a long time while they grow. Mm-hmm. My favorite one to watch is the strawberries, because every time they grow, they turn to a flower and then they turn green, and that means they're not ready. When they turn a darkish red, you can eat them.
Even though everything else was delayed or interrupted, the food they planted this spring is still growing. Deanna Alcantara, who wears many hats at CCS, including garden teacher, walked me through how she and the students are not only tending to the garden, but they're sharing the fruits of their labor.
You can teach any subject through the garden, from reading and writing, if the kids are just sitting out here for inspiration, obviously science, biology, art, drawing flowers, looking at bees. And I just knew this was the right place to do a garden here at the Carbondale Community School. I'd been teaching here just a couple years at that point. So I started the garden club, and we meet on Thursdays during lunch. And the kids bring their lunches, and we sit on the south-facing porch chair of the school. And we elect a president and a vice president and a secretary and a treasurer. And we vote to make decisions. And since, you know, the pandemic has hit, it's shifted a lot of things. Maybe everything. And so I thought, if I can get a few families involved over the summer. I didn't want the garden to just sit. And it's as you can see, it's a big space for one person to take care of. So I'm like, I'm gonna reach out and see if we can do a compassion project. So I met with a Zoom call with the garden club officers. And of course they wanted to do it. They absolutely all approved us to change the garden to be food focused and a learning space for our school into a space to create something beautiful together. Growing food and then sharing it with families at our school or the lift up or a community in some way.
And it's clear from the way these students speak about their food. They have not only learned from their time in the garden club, but they are quite literally always hungry for more. Here to speak to that unique and loving connection with the garden are two fifth graders, Juniper and Sean.
I've learned how the food chain works. I've learned how to plant, and it's good to eat a rainbow of foods.
What does it mean, a rainbow of foods?
Carrot, lettuce, purple carrot, blueberries, like foods that are rainbow colored.
I like playing in the sprinklers and helping getting roots of dandelions, and my mom and me like making dandelion chai.
I like knowing that anybody can grow food if they put their time and effort into it. And it just makes me feel better knowing that it was very fresh if I just like pick a carrot or a strawberry that I just grew. In fact, I don't like store-bought strawberries. The only strawberries I like is if I just fresh pick them off of the vine.
Why is that?
I just think they taste better. Like, I'll eat like a fruit salad, but I don't just like nibble on strawberries from the store. I'll only do that with fresh picked strawberries.
So what have you enjoyed about the garden experience so far?
I like playing in the sprinklers and helping getting roots of dandelions, and my mom and me like making dandelion chai.
So what are you most excited about this summer with the garden?
Seeing a green rainbow. Like seeing all the different shades of green in the garden when everything is ripe.
I love growing radishes because I have a driveway. I have an asphalt driveway. And then I have a strip of land between that. And then on the other side is a sidewalk. So and I dug in that strip of land and started a radish garden. And they all turned out pretty successful.
Why radishes? Why are they so cool?
I don't know. know. I think they taste good. My family loves radishes, and they're pretty easy to grow. It makes me feel so happy when I plant it from the seed, and then I just see the sprouts coming up. When it's time to re-wood chip the entire thing, because it's just, like, old dirt and grass, and then we put a ton of cardboard down and then wood chip on top of that to make the floor for the garden. So when it's time to re-wood chip it, I kind of like it, because then we ride around in the gorilla carts and push them while we're gathering the wood chips to bring into the garden. I love it all.
These kids are not alone. Beyond all the fun aspects of gardening, connecting with the earth, and growing something beautiful, this act of stewardship is actually expanding the palate of some kids, getting them to be more adventurous with their food choices.
Again, this is all about growing food with compassion and awareness so we can share. So it's been a huge learning curve, though, as well, to learn to use this space to grow things that the kids like. But, you know, if they plant the beet seed and get to water it, they will pull, I've witnessed it, they'll pull it right out of the ground and chew on a raw baby beet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people will say, oh, my kid doesn't like beets. It's like, well, if they're involved from the beginning, putting the seed in the ground and caring for it, they'll eat the beet.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've discovered rainbow carrots. Now we have purple, white, orange, and yellow carrots, not just the ones that everyone's used to seeing at the store. There's so many varieties of seeds. And for the kids to hold that seed in their hand first and get to interact with it and then plant it, when the germination starts, I mean, I still get excited. I've been gardening for a few years. The chives were all donated. The kids will just chow chives. And one comment I get from the teachers is like, oh my gosh, they come back from recess and their breath is so strong. I'm like, yeah, but it boosts their immune system.
Yeah.
I mean, kids eat chives. They'll devour them.
I have 7 food plants in my yard.
Whoa, what are all of them?
Out by my trash can, I have a blackberry bush. Then I go around by my parking lot, go around the corner of my house. Then I have rhubarb. And then in front of the rhubarb is, yeah, oregano, just 3. And then across from the oregano is more oregano, so that's 4. And then across from that oregano is 2 pear trees, so that's 6. And then on the other side of my house in front, I have a plum tree.
So trees and bushes and plants, wow, so many different things.
And then my neighbor has rhubarb and strawberries.
Ooh, so do you go and eat some of their strawberries sometimes?
Yeah, he gives me permission.
As I was visiting the garden at CCS, walking around the different beds and getting a feel for who Deanna is as an educator, I noticed she was wearing a t-shirt that carried a pretty powerful statement along with it.
Your shirt says, food justice is social justice. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I think with what's happening right now in our country, it's June 2nd, 2020. We're being asked to re-examine our biases and the racism in this country. And it's rooted definitely in access to healthy food. If you live in a food desert, which are parts of the cities where your only option is to go to 7-Eleven to buy food, it's going to affect your well-being. It's going to affect your body, is going to affect your health. And so part of the school garden is also the idea of social justice. And it's one of the points in our school compass. I felt like the garden also is a way to look at justice. We all deserve the right to have healthy food and have access to it. And to also have enough to be earning a wage that allows you to be able to purchase that food or be gifted that food. We do have some nice grocery stores here in the valley, but you have to be earning a certain amount to go in that store and purchase things. And so if we can grow and teach kids the skills of how to grow a little bit of your own food, that to me is also social justice. The biggest issue I think we face in Carbondale is access to local affordable food. Most people rely on things that's brought in from California. And so we need to learn what grows well here, how to take care of our soil and support our local farmers. So when that lifeline, those trucks aren't able to come, there are shortages at City Market. The grocery store you walk in and like the entire chicken section has been bare for 2 days. You know, and then beef is an issue. And then sometimes the fresh produce is wiped out. if we work together and collaborate with our food system and finding out who can be the people that raise hens locally. Can we get manure from the ranchers and then let it sit for a year and really take care of it and spread it out to everybody's home gardens, but also start turning as many spaces as we can into spaces where we grow food? That is going to be, that's our security.
So who does this garden normally feed, and how is it transitioning now that you're starting a compassion project with it?
So the Garden of Yum is a learning garden here at the community school, and we do five or six Fridays in a row harvesting from the garden and prepping. And I harvest with the kids. I help them prep. They learn some basic kitchen skills and some basic cooking skills. So they all get to help in some way. And it can feed anybody who wants to buy lunch that day. So we pull what we can out of the garden and complement with what, you know, what I need. Like, we do Asian lettuce wraps. They love to do breakfast for lunch. So we feed the kids at the school, and then we serve the lunch. This year, it could go to families at our school if they need to. I think we definitely should donate some to Lift Up. I plant a big potato patch so that in the fall we can have a baked potato bar. I also like to connect gardening to our community, the history in our community of when the settlers first came and the Utes were pushed out, they were potato farmers. So Missouri Heights was all potatoes. And then I feel like by being here in the garden, gardening, we're honoring the original settlers of Carbondale that had to know how to grow food to survive. You know, they had to. There weren't stores here. Maybe some stuff came by train, you know, canned goods, but they came and they were gardeners and they were ranchers. So, I mean, we're just having extremes right now of weather, of temperature, of what's going on in our community, in our nation, in our world. And so I felt that the Garden Compassion Project would be a way to maybe balance, bring back some balance in here, an outlet for, what do I do? Ah, you know, the world's on fire and it's a pandemic. Come and work in the garden and find yourself and lose yourself.
It's clear that Deanna speaks in a spiritual sense about the value of gardening. And she works hard to impart that onto her students as well, incorporating different concepts of mindfulness within her teaching practice.
We also practice mindfulness out here. And so I think through the mindfulness, we find the compassion. I like the way that sounds, that we can work together to create something that benefits others. And the kids get that right away. They immediately want to be on board and want to help. And so I like to start the class with the kids sitting around this table or under the tree on a bucket or on the logs over there. And we take a minute to just sit. And I focus on just let your ears hear things. What do you hear? Do you hear the sprinkler running? Do you hear a bird chirping? Do you hear a bee buzzing? Do you hear the breeze and the leaves rustling? And I have two giant wind chimes, and we take turns ringing them to start the minute and to end the minute. Their favorite part, though, is when I have them close their eyes and put their hand out, and I put something from the garden in it, like a chive leaf or an oregano leaf or a thyme leaf or a sunflower. So we just take a minute to sit and just be, and nothing else going on, just focusing on the sense of taste or what you're hearing or what you're smelling. I might give them something very fragrant, and they just have to smell it the whole time.
Why do you feel like food education and garden education for young people is so critical, is so important?
Children love being outside, and they don't get enough time outside, in my opinion. So if we can look at the learning garden as a place to learn, to connect to the soil, to connect to plants, I've seen amazing transitions in kids from kinder to first grade who don't want to try anything. They're really hesitant. So they get the chance on their own to try these different tastes. And I've had a couple of kids that by the time they're in fourth grade completely transition into wanting to eat all different kinds of foods. And when they started, all they would eat was pasta, macaroni, and cheese. So when you give them the opportunity to be involved, and there's just so much to learn, and they will find that one thing that they connect to. And they love that. I mean, what better way to inspire kids than through their sense of taste for adults, too?
Yeah.
You know, we've been turning to our comfort foods in this time of transition and crisis.
While these students are thriving in this garden environment, it's clear they've learned a lot from Deanna, not only about how to garden, but also about how to give back. Have you worked on any other gardens before?
Yes, I have two plots in, we have a community garden here in my neighborhood, and I have two plots there, and I'm thinking about starting this thing where I go around digging up weeds and starting more plots that is just for the community to take. Like, they're not just specifically mine. I can, like, give them to people who don't have a garden or, like, need fresh food, but they don't have access to a store for whatever reason.
So what is your dream for the future of your school's garden?
I want to accomplish all of our school-wide goals for the garden and beyond. We want to successfully turn this into a compassion garden project and grow food for the people who don't have access. We are just so happy when we actually grow the food. So it's always a goal that we grow as much food as possible.
What are your goals for the garden at school? What do you hope that you all can accomplish?
I hope that it feeds others who don't have as much food and that we can help give some out.
If you have any interest in getting involved with the Garden of Yum Club as a student or a family, Deanna is ready to welcome you. With quite a few social distancing measures, of course.
What are you hoping when it comes to community involvement?
Well, I can always use more help in the garden. If you look around, it's a big space with expertise and just coming to pull weeds, a little fundraising. You know, we're gonna need a little bit of money to make the project go. A hose always breaks. Or just connections, like, I've got a hose you can have. I need that support in many ways. Just spending a couple hours with me in the garden. I do have families from the school that want to help.
And while you're not hosting camps this year, are kids still welcome to come in and support and play in the garden?
Yes, I can have kids come to the garden. You know, it's just we need that 6 feet. We need a mask if we're going to be closer. We need to bring our own tools. I gotta get the hand washing station set up so we can wash our hands. It's better families. The best way to reach me to be involved with our compassion project is, I'll give you my phone number, 970-274-2472. Or my email is my first initial, Diana, D, and then it's Alcantara, Alcantara, at discovercompass.org. I also want to say that anybody can grow some food this summer. If you've never grown anything, you can purchase one of these fabric bags and fill it with soil and drop a potato in and see what happens. You know, start something really easy, even some lettuce seeds, and you'll find the joy in watering. And when that first leaf pops up, that germination happens, you're like, oh my gosh, it's growing. Yay, I can do it. And that we'll move into a community that is more sustainable and food-centered, healthy, fresh, delicious food.
Since some of the food produced this summer at the garden is going to be donated to Lift Up, I spoke with Debbie from this local organization to better understand what ways all of us can support their work, even if we don't have a garden full of delicious food to share.
Lift Up is a 38-year-old organization that is there to help our community with humanitarian essentials, primarily focused on food needs.
So what's one of the biggest challenges you faced since the outbreak of COVID-19 in Colorado?
So Lift Up has 7 brick-and-mortar food pantries, 2 thrift stores. We also do extended table, which is soup kitchens. We had to close everything when COVID hit. We had a lot of seniors that were working out of our food pantries. we had to close everything for about a week and just regroup and come up with a whole different way to deal with everything. We closed both thrift stores, which are income revenue sources for us, so that we could convert that staff to help with food distribution. We changed all of our brick and mortar pantries to drive-through distribution locations, one in each key community that we serve. We work in Aspen, Basalt, Carbondale, Glenwood, Silt, Newcastle, Rifle, Parachute, and then DeBeck is a mobile pantry. So we've been working, we did two distributions a week in each of those locations. We're now doing one a week, but we're rotating our times between 2 to 4 in the afternoon one week, and then the next week 5 to 7 as people start to go back to work. And then our extended table soup kitchens, our volunteer served food, mostly hot meals, all those had to close as well. And now they're grab and go sack meals. So yeah, it was pretty major, very fast, had to make a change on where we could distribute, how it was distributed. We also needed a location to pack all of our emergency food bags, which we've been doing out at the Rifle Fairgrounds up until today. And then that will all change starting in July. That's going to be done out of the Parachute thrift store location.
Seems like there's been a ton of changes and y'all have been able to adapt pretty quickly, but what would you say is what you could use the most from your community right now to support you?
We were serving around 675 families prior to COVID a month. Our high at the peak during COVID, we were over 900 a week. So more than 6 times as many families we were providing food to. So obviously financial donations really help to allow us to continue to buy food for the distribution. We need volunteers to help us pack that food. So it has been done, like I said, at the Rifle Fairgrounds. Now it's going to be done out of what was our Parachute thrift store through the remainder of 2020. So we need people to help pack all the emergency food bags. We still need some help when distributing those food bags. That's probably the biggest need. We have a volunteer hotline that people can call. They can also go online to liftup.org and get more information there. We also are in the process of hiring some people. We need another driver that would be a full-time driver that could help drive a truck pulling a trailer. We also need a warehouse person to help manage and oversee all of the food packing. And then we need some part-time people to help us with the packing as well as distribution regular basis. We're working those 2 to 4 hours at the food distribution locations as well as 5 to 7 closer in the evening. So we still need some help, both from volunteers and then some key people in key positions.
So where can people go to donate food or money for your system?
So the best thing for donating financial support is to go to our website, liftup.org, and you can click on the donate button. They can mail, and that's P.O. Box 1928 in Rifle, 81650. And again, that information's on the website. So if you're more comfortable doing snail mail, you can, or you can just go to the website. It's a secure place to make a donation. If people do have food that they want to donate, they can come into our distribution sites about a half an hour before. We can take food in at that time.
How have kids been involved in Lift Up thus far, especially in the last few months?
Kids have always been an integral part of Lift Up, which is kind of the magic of it. We do have families involved. We have different youth groups and Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts involved that have run major food drives for us throughout the valley. We're really blessed. We just had a Girl Scout troop from Basalt that donated $1,600 and 30 boxes of Girl Scout cookies. The money was all raised from Girl Scout cookie sales. And they came down and made a presentation to Carbondale Pantry a couple weeks ago. And that was really magical. Those were third grade girls. Right now, high school students can help working with food distribution or packing the bags. That's probably the most helpful. We also just were contacted by an Eagle Scout that may make Lift Up his Eagle Scout project. And so we're in the process of discussing with him about how to help. We also have a really wonderful volunteer named Abdon Rivera, and he's been volunteering almost full time since COVID happened, every day coming down and helping stuff bags, tremendously helpful.
Amazing. It seems like there are a lot of different ways to get involved if you want to help. Just, is there anything else that you'd like the community to know about Lift Up?
I would just say that anybody that's having a hard time right now, or if you know of somebody, please direct them to the website. We have all the distribution information on the website of days, locations, and times. So if people need some help, that's a great place to go. The other thing is, a lot of people have been wondering when our thrift stores are going to reopen, and our Rifle thrift store will be reopening this month, mid-month, for receiving goods in the month of July, and then we'll be open for selling or for purchasing in August. So just keep an eye out again on the website for when we can start receiving goods at the Rifle thrift store location. We're excited to have that reopening soon.
Thanks for tuning in and listening to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. I'm your host, Hallie Zander. I'd like to leave you for these last few minutes with a portion of my interview with Mia and her mom, who you heard from at the beginning of this episode. Her 3-year-old brother also chimed in a few times for some comedic relief.
I've also heard that you guys are going to be donating a lot of the food that you all make this summer. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you excited to share some of your food with other people?
Yeah.
Yes.
In the community?
Yes, because it was Christmas a long time ago.
It was Christmas a long time ago.
Yeah, we have little finger carrots in our home.
Yes.
Yeah, you have a garden at home. Can you tell me about your garden at home?
Yeah, we always... So I named the garden.
Named it? What's it named?
It's the Garden of Love.
A guy I wrote.
Garden of Love. Why did you name it the Garden of Love?
Because I thought that would be a good name.
So Mia started in kinder with Deanna, and they'd bring them out, and she would come home and she'd say things like, "Mom, I had a carrot," or "I had this," and she's notoriously picky eater. We got a little bit more from there with CCS and kind of the garden program and how Spanish was integrated into it. And from there, we just kind of made a family affair. So come January, we would get our little seed catalog and she'd kind of go through it and all these vibrant pictures, and she'd pick it out. Since she's on the spectrum, and again, she's picky, we noticed it really helped her just to try new things and whatnot. And this year she pitched us the idea of converting just an empty parking spot into a garden. And now the garden is almost done. It quickly kind of morphed into a little makeshift community garden. And she typically does her watering, like she said, you know, that's kind of her zen thing. She takes her moment and she does that. And just waking up every morning, she'll go and she'll check and she'll say, "Oh, Mom, the radishes are so big," or "This is going on." And that's kind of where we're at. It's still a work in progress. We have a fantastic neighbor who's coming over all the time and dropping off more starts, and we'll probably start bringing those to the school since we have very limited space.
Yeah, but this was all Mia's idea.
This was all Mia's idea.
That is so cool.